For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Spring.
Crossover, step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, right here on 960theref.com.
What's up, guys? Sam Franco and Chris Spring here. It is the Crossover Podcast, right here on 960theref.com, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. And Bram, I'm just going to dive right in here with our Fully Loaded question of the week this week. And it comes from me. And the question is, when are we actually going to start giving something away for this?
I think now is the right time.
That's absolutely correct. Starting with our next podcast, if we choose your question that you email to 960theref@coxradio.com, you're going to get a $20 gift card to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville to go try one of their delicious pizzas. You can make your own, or you can get the Home Team, the Walter White. They got plenty of good combinations on their pizzas, so you can make it yourself. You can let them do it. Either way, it's going to be good, and it's going to be free pizza because all you had to do was just email a question into us to be the Fully Loaded question of the week.
Well, the question also has to be good enough that we use it, though.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I mean, you can't just email us stuff that, you know, we won't pick. It's got to be a good question.
Yeah.
So we will definitely be scouring through our emails when those start to come in. But again, it's going to be worth your while if you send us a Fully Loaded question of the week, because if we choose yours, $20 gift card to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. I mean, it's free pizza.
You know, if you email us and they're like, hey, why are you two such big jerks? We're probably not going to use your question.
You're not going to win. No. Yeah. So keep that in mind as you come up with Fully Loaded questions of the week, and you just might be getting some free pizza thanks to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, and I guess us too, but mainly them.
Yeah, mostly them.
Mostly them. All right, so today's episode, now that we've gotten that out of the way, is going to be full on Super Bowl, as the Rams and Patriots will be playing in the Super Bowl. No matter what folks in New Orleans might want to tell you, this is a great matchup and a matchup that I am certainly looking forward to. And not just a matchup I'm looking forward to, not just one you're looking forward to, but one that has definitely been a blessing for the Georgia football program with the amount of promotion that Georgia's gotten with Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, David Andrews. Oh, and you've also got the greatest NFL head coach of all time basically calling Georgia a pro factory. So that's helped out too.
Yeah, I mean, the number of things that just the good vibes that have come Georgia's way, the good mentions from Kirby, and it wasn't just from the Georgia guys too. I mean, their Rams safety Mark Barron, who played for Kirby at Alabama, basically said, yeah, the guy taught me everything I know about football. So just a lot of endorsements for the Georgia program for Kirby, and I mean, the dogs have already come out winners of the game. Either the Rams or the Patriots will win the Super Bowl on Sunday, but Georgia's another big winner from this week for sure.
Oh, absolutely, and we talked about how much promotion they got being in the college football playoff last year because ESPN has that thing, and they ram it down your throat every chance they get. And it's kind of been like that this week, and not really any entity trying to force it down your throat like ESPN does with the college football playoff, but this is just, you know, kind of by virtue of having players in the game, you know, you've added a lot more sort of talk about Georgia surrounding this game. So it's certainly been welcome to have all of that stuff come around. And it's been great to just kind of talk about all this stuff and going into the game. But now that we're actually right on the game and they're finally going to play it, just in terms of a matchup, I mean, sure, Saints and Patriots would have been a good matchup. But this is also a very good and intriguing matchup. And with this one, you've kind of got old NFL versus new NFL with Belichick and the proven standard that's been there versus this team in the Rams that is really kind of doing things, you know, a new way.
Well, and it's just interesting too how it's come all the way around now for New England, that the Rams are the franchise that this dynasty really started against, but it was Brady who was the young up-and-coming quarterback at the time, Belichick who was still I mean, a relatively young coach. He wasn't as young as Sean McVay. And the Rams were the greatest show on turf. They had won the Super Bowl 2 years prior. Not quite the, you know, the long-running dynasty that the Patriots are now, but you know, the roles here are, here is the grizzled older veteran team in New England, and now you've got the young upstart Rams that are trying to plant their flag. So from the New England standpoint, it is kind of fascinating how it's come all the way around on them. But hey, they're the team that's favored. It's their third straight Super Bowl. It's the ninth time that Brady and Belichick will have combined to get to the game. So they've definitely got the edge on the experience.
Oh, for sure. There's no question about it. And, you know, they certainly, you know, like you said, experience. They've been here before. David Andrews has never not been to a Super Bowl in his pro career. So yeah. Think about that. Compared to like a guy like Dan Marino who got to one his first year and then never went back.
Thanks for reminding me of that.
David Andrews has already been there three times. So it's just hard to fathom that. And look, we'll break down the game here for sure. Let you know who we think is going to win. But first and foremost, the most fun part about the Super Bowl, especially if you don't have a team in it, is prop bets. And there's so many of them, you know, just ridiculous things of the national anthem going over under. Will Andre 3000 make an appearance with Big Boy? I'm sure that's a pretty popular prop bet for the halftime show. You know, over or under amount of times they show Giselle on camera, just dumb things like that. But it's fun, and it gives, you know, even the most casual observer kind of a reason to pay attention to the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's every facet of the game you're paying attention to, from like, okay, here comes Gladys Knight now. Let me start my stopwatch and see how long it takes. And then, you know, I mean, the drama just in the flip of a coin. If you're going, do you want heads? Do you want tails? And see how it comes up. So, yeah, I mean, there's pretty much anything is on the on the table, from what color will Adam Levine's shirt be? Will he be wearing a hat? You know, you mentioned the Big Boy prop right there. Mm-hmm. Of course, there was even one earlier with that involved SpongeBob appearing in some form during the halftime show. And if he did, would he take a knee in protest? So, I mean, even SpongeBob potentially getting in on the protesting.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because I saw where like the guy that voices Squidward on SpongeBob SquarePants like announced that he's going to be like introducing the halftime show or something. Like the character Squidward's going to be introducing the halftime show.
Oh.
And all of this has to do with the creator of that show. I think it's Steven Hillenburg's name, passing away recently. And there was some like big push from people tweeting at Maroon 5, hey, include SpongeBob in the halftime show or something. But that's how crazy this stuff gets. And, you know, you mentioned one right off the bat there, the over-under for Gladys Knight in the national anthem. Kind of diva singers like that, you know what I mean? You know, they're called divas. You know,
yeah.
I would assume that with those kind of singers, take the over.
Yeah, they like to drag out their notes.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe find it. There was one video I found of Gladys Knight singing the national anthem. I don't even know where it was, but it clocked in at about a minute and a half. Now, it wasn't at the Super Bowl, where you're probably going to go for a little more pomp there. So, but that's it. It's interesting that there's not a lot of scouting that can be done on Gladys Knight singing the national anthem. So, because sometimes with these performers, you know, they've done it before, so you go and you look at them. I mean, the all-time, the fast one was Billy Joel, which wasn't that long ago, but I don't remember exactly which one it was. But he got right to it, and I think it was like a minute and 31 seconds. But
it's obliterating the prop.
yeah, no doubt. But, you know, even with like a guy like him, I remember there were plenty of times that he had sang the anthem before at sporting events. But I can't find one with Gladys Knight. There was one video I found of her singing it. And like I said, she did it pretty fast. But, you know, this is the Super Bowl.
It's Atlanta because it's her home. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a bunch that goes into it. But
she still had that chicken and waffles.
Yeah, and I think what happened that was, like, her son was, like, running that place, and he got involved in some, like, tax fraud or something.
Right.
And, like, her name got dragged through it, even though she really had, like, nothing to do with it, other than her name being on the restaurant.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's still there. What is it? Gladys Knight and Ron Winans
chicken and waffles
yeah.
or
something.
Well,
but, yeah.
it's 147 is the number.
Okay.
Over under 147.
I'd still go over. But, again, like you said, you found one that she went through pretty quickly. So, You know, I don't know. that's a good question.
I mean, the juice is heavy on the over. I mean, you probably always have to lean on that. Like you said, you've got an R&B singer that, you know, they like to carry out those notes a lot of times and really show off their range. So the lean probably has to be on the over. But I got to tell you, that's of all those exotic prop bets that pop up for the Super Bowl, the national anthem is one that I've never wanted to get involved with.
No, because it's so hard to like assume what a singer's going to do or not. And there's also the kind of black helicopter conspiracy theory thing that's like, well, what's to stop Gladys Knight from like going and seeing what the over under is and like putting some money and betting on it herself?
Well, that's why you like felt that way. Like Billy Joel was one for sure that I'm like, I could see where he'd be aware of that.
He's because, on the take.
Because he just got like right to it and started singing. But then it's always confusing as to, all right, well, does the clock start as soon as the music starts playing, or does the clock start, you know, on the first note that right. is sung? But I always sit there and time it, though, even though I'm never involved with it. And it is always – there was someone – it wasn't Lady Gaga, but it was recent, too, like that did like a 2.5-minute version of it. Mm-hmm. It was really long.
Oh, gosh.
And that song's not supposed to be long like that. I can't remember who it was. And it wasn't Fergie that from that wretched breakdown at the NBA All-Star game mm-hmm. last year. I can't remember who it was, but that was a really long one from just a couple of years ago. But, you know, usually it's around like the 2-minute mark. So the over would probably be a lean there, but proceed with caution unless you can find more instances of Gladys Knight singing the anthem somewhere.
All right, yeah, definitely, and that's you got to do that homework on those things too. You know, there are ways to do it, and a lot of the times too, like on the ones where like, will they show this person a lot on camera, or will they show that person? Those never hit.
No, I'd say the one prop bet I did hit with the anthem was last year with Pink. Pink sang it, and
right.
or was Pink the year one of the recent years? But there was one about whether or not she would show cleavage during it,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, no, she's singing the
national anthem.
She's not going to show
on.
Cleavage, and
Come
she
on.
Didn't. So. I did cash that one.
There's all that. There's kind of ones like that, and I don't know if the one or this one shows up on the page you've got over there, but the Andre 3000 one is one that I find fascinating, and I'll tell you right now, Hammer, no. He's not going to show up. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I don't think he is either.
Because he's talked about this before, and like Big Boy's talked about it before, when they went on their or when they were at their heyday, and the NFL asked them to play the Super Bowl outright, the two of them. And Andre was like, you know, I'm not going to limit myself artistically to whatever the NFL would, like, censor us from doing or whatever. So he said no. And in 2014, when they went out on their 20th reunion or 20th anniversary tour or whatever, I mean, it took pulling teeth almost to get Andre to even do it. I mean, they made like $40 million doing that too,
right.
which is nuts. But I mean, even then Andre didn't like want to do it. The only reason he did it was out of some sort of sense of loyalty to Big Boy because he wanted to do it. But Andre 3000 hated it. So he's not going to show up.
Well, and as soon as Big Boy announced that he was doing it, he was catching a lot of crap on Twitter for
well, everybody
for
was.
Doing
he
it.
Was, you know, Travis Scott was as well. And
even
Travis
Maroon
Scott
5
thing,
has
right.
been.
And the Travis Scott thing's crazy because even like then, like Colin Kaepernick basically called him a sellout even after it came out that he made that Travis Scott made the NFL donate $500,000 to like a charity that helps like inner city communities and things like that. So he got the NFL to pony up $500,000, and you're calling him a sellout?
Still didn't help.
Dude, Colin Kaepernick, you took Nike's money. Nike's been making money off sweatshops for years, and you're going to call someone a sellout? Shut up. Like, you're a sellout for taking Nike's money.
Yeah, there is no more Andre 3000 prop.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it because I don't think he's going to show
now,
up.
Now, here's your halftime props. Will Adam Levine be wearing a hat?
No.
What will the predominant color of his shirt be at the start of the show? Black is favored or any other color?
I'd say white.
Okay, so you're going to take any other color?
Yeah.
How many songs will be played at halftime?
Oh, that's a tough one. And that's probably which songs will be played, too, is on there.
Well, this is a good – here's a – I mean, if you're counting medleys and stuff, last year Timberlake did 11. Lady Gaga did 7.
So, like, the thing with medleys, it's like you could sing, like, you know, 10 seconds of a song, but that
yeah.
counts.
Yeah, so the last 6 years, you had 11, 7, 6, 8, 6, and 9 were the number of songs sung at halftime.
I'm going to go 8, because here's the thing. I think Big Boy's going to do 2 songs. He'll do, like, an Outkast song, and he'll also do the song that he did with Maroon 5 called Mike Jack. So there's
right.
2. Travis Scott's going to do Sicko Mode, his big rap song, which is 3. And then you've got Maroon 5 that'll probably do, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 on their own. So right there, you're looking at 9 or 10.
Okay. So you're the over-under 7.5.
Oh,
so you're
over.
On the over.
Uh-huh.
First song performed by Maroon 5 is one of them.
Moves Like Jagger? Is that the favorite?
No, the favorite is Makes Me Wonder.
Yeah, I remember that song. I mean, it's a big song of theirs, but not real big. I would probably say Moves Like Jagger would be the one they'd open with.
That's the third highest favorite.
What's the second?
One More Night.
Okay. What about This Love? Is that one? That was like their first real big hit.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, This Love, but it's like 20 to 1.
Okay, well, certainly interesting to dive into the halftime stuff, too. But in terms of like in-game stuff, those are some interesting props, too. Like, you know, what would the first score be? Or how will the first points be scored? You know, I do like the ones that like featured James Harden, where it's like, what will be higher, James Harden's point total on February 2nd or the total points scored in the Super Bowl on February 3rd?
Yeah, there was also, and I don't even know if it's ended yet, but his streak of 30-point games or something.
Yeah. It's like, will that be longer than, you know, or whatever?
Yeah, here you go. James Harden points versus Utah or Tom Brady pass attempts. I would take
James Harden in that one.
This is a good one. Knicks win total in 2019. What are they at right now? They're still in single digits, aren't they?
Yeah, they are not good.
So the Knicks win total this season are Tom Brady completions.
So Tom Brady completions, you could probably see somewhere in the teens or the, you know, what the teens or the maybe low 20s.
I would think the 20s, yeah.
The Knicks right now have 10 wins.
Okay.
So it's like basically let's just say he completes 21 passes.
Yeah.
You're saying can the Knicks win 12 more games?
Yeah. No, they can't. If they've won 10 at this point, they're already over the halfway point of the season.
I'd take
right?
the Brady completions.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, me too. And that, by the way, Brady completions is like heavily favored. So, yeah, those are a couple of those. With the there's Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. I'm trying to see if there's any that involve either Gurley or here's one. Tiger Woods' first round score at the Masters. Now, that's you know, you got to wait a couple months for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tiger Woods' first-round score at the Masters are Todd Gurley rushing yards.
Okay, so basically you're saying, like, if Tiger were to go out and shoot, like, a 70, you're saying, well, Todd Gurley have more than, like, 70 rushing yards.
Yeah, he'd have to rush for more than 70 yards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Isn't
right
it, like, I'm trying to, off the top of my head, like, Tiger is, even when he's won the Masters, he's, like, he's not known for getting off to fast starts
no,
there, though, right?
But what if Todd rushes for, like, if you take that bet and Todd rushes for, like, 73 yards and say you took Todd Gurley, you know, and Todd Gurley would be the higher number there, you're like, oh, man, I need Tiger to go low in round number one.
Or if you wait, if you took
– I'm saying if you took Todd at
yeah.
the
and he ran for 73
and he
yards.
He ran for 73.
You need Tiger to shoot a 74 then.
Wait, no, I'm saying Todd would have more yards than Tiger's score would be.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you took Todd there, then Tiger would have to go low. He'd have to shoot like a 72 or less. Right.
Yeah.
So like you're like say Todd Gurley rushes for like 71 yards and you took him. Ooh, you need Tiger to go under par, baby.
Yeah. And he's you know, and Tiger's sometimes sketchy in the opening rounds of
he
Masters.
Is.
So
he usually catches it up on Friday and Saturday. But yeah, that is certainly interesting too. So I mean, you just have so many different things to pay attention to, and then actual ones that I find interesting are like the one about like how are the first points going to get scored. That's always fantastic because you really have no idea.
No, the one that blew it up a couple years ago
was safety?
It was the safety in
yeah.
the Seahawks and Broncos game.
That's right, because the snap went over Brady's head.
Or
right?
Manning's head.
Manning's head, right, and he had to run back and get it. And
yeah.
I think Noshon actually is the one that got tackled in the end zone.
Well, Noshon got it and smartly just took a knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
so,
he knew that if he had tried to run it, it could have been way worse.
Right,
yeah,
or
he
could have fumbled it, and they could have scored a touchdown. So
that's right, Noshon.
Yeah,
so
Noshon
technically,
got
Noshon scored the first points of that Super Bowl. It was just for the other team.
Yeah, that's true.
So what happens if you're, like, person to score the first points of the game? I mean, if you, like, took that bet in Vegas and you bet Noshon Moreno, I mean, technically, wouldn't you have a case?
I think you would. I don't know how that would work out.
Because, I mean, I guess they would give it to whoever made the tackle. Whoever's credited with the tackle of the safety would be the ones that score the point.
Or is the safety just sometimes that's just credit to the team? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it just depends. But that's another one. I mean, you could dive down so many rabbit holes with this stuff, but the prop bets are certainly very interesting. All right, on the other side, we're going to actually talk about this game, tell you who he thinks is going to win, maybe have a guess for an MVP, and actually, you know, get into the game itself as opposed to some of this prop stuff. So he's Chris Braham. I'm Sam Franco. Back with more next on The Crossover right here on 960theref.com.
Friends and family piled around the table, sharing big cheesy slices of pizza, golden baked calzones and strombolis, platefuls of zesty lasagna. It's not Nana's Kitchen in Southern Italy. It's Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. At Fully Loaded, you'll find all these Italian favorites like wings, salads, and hoagies. A full bar and patio, too. Family dinner, date night, or hanging out with friends. Get more out of it at Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, back here on The Crossover on 960theref.com, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. He's Chris Braham. I'm Sam Franco. Talking about Super Bowl 53 here as the Rams going to take on the Patriots. And we talked before the break about some props, things like that. Well, now let's actually get into this game. And I think the one thing that's kind of hanging over things, at least for the Rams, is what is Todd Gurley's status? You know, he's out there saying, I'm not hurt. You know, I just didn't play well in the NFC Championship game. And then there's evidence behind that. I mean, he's the one that could have caught that pass, and instead it bounces off his hands and turned into an interception. So he wasn't playing great, but is that because of an injury? You know, he's going out there saying all the right things and he's not hurt. I don't buy that.
Well, I mean, he was hurt at the end of toward the end of the season, and they ended up adding C.J. Anderson, and then C.J. Anderson ended up out-rushing him in that game against Dallas. And then ended up playing more snaps than Gurley did in the NFC Championship game. So, yeah, as much as Gurley's downplayed it and even Sean McVay has downplayed it, McVay has said this week that, yeah, I mean, of course, you're in the Super Bowl now, and they've got to find ways to get Gurley more involved than they did in the NFC title game. I mean, you have to believe, though, that I mean, Gurley was not 100% if he was getting out-snapped by C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, C.J. Anderson's a fine back, not to take away from him, but, yeah, Todd Gurley – there's a reason that he's being paid more than any other running back in the NFL right now, and it's because he's, you know, arguably the best back in the league. So I think that they obviously have to get him the ball. They obviously have to figure out ways to create mismatches with him. And, you know, if they don't do that, if they're not able to successfully run the ball and you're putting this on Jared Goff to go out there and try and win you the game, no offense to Goff, because I think he's definitely proven a lot of doubters wrong this year. But, you know, you're still putting a lot on his shoulders to go out there and try and win the game against the Patriots defense that seems to step up in these kind of games.
Yeah. I mean, now, they won a game at New Orleans with Gurley not playing a ton, so it's not like it's impossible for him. But, and that it was at New Orleans. This is on a neutral field against New England. New England's defense has gotten a little bit better. I mean, it's still not it's far from a juggernaut. When I think about Gurley's potential Sunday, I think about Devontae Freeman and the game he had against the Patriots 2 years ago, both catching and receiving. And, you know, Gurley's turned into a running back that the Rams throw to a lot. He's outside of the two times he dropped passes against the Saints, he's definitely been a very reliable pass catcher for the Rams since he's been in the NFL. But remember, I mean, Devontae Freeman was just like unstoppable in that game. And even after the Patriots had started to make that run, I remember he broke off that one long run, and you took a breath because mm-hmm. you felt like, all right, the Patriots were charging, but maybe that really stole the momentum from him. And he had like that 50-yard rush. So, based on that, I feel like, you know, catching, running, I mean, that's the kind of impact that, you know, Gurley could have in the game Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a big part of this, too, is we talk about this a lot with the Patriots. Bill Belichick is known for taking away what you do well. We talked about this with the AFC Championship game. Tyreek Hill, one catch, 42 yards. You know, they didn't want to let him get in behind the defense a whole lot, so they did a good job of limiting him and taking him away other than that one catch. So in this game, you would think that the focal point's going to be on the Rams' rushing attack for the Patriots' defense, and if they can get those stops. If the Rams' offensive line, you know, plays the way they played for the majority of the season, though, you know, that's going to be a boom for them. And then on the other side, you look at that front, the front four for the Rams with, you know, Fowler, Sue, Donald, you know, the big three names there. And they've also got, you know, some other great players that cycle in and out. But that defensive front, the way they played against the Saints, if they play that way against the Patriots, it's going to be very hard for me to pick against them, like if they were to play that way.
Yeah, that's the when you think to the two losses that the Patriots had to the Giants, I just think of Justin Tuck, Strahan, yep. Umanyora. I think Pierre Paul was on.
Getting
that second
pressure
team.
With the front four. If you can get pressure with the front four and leave your linebackers and DBs in coverage and not have to worry about blitzing, that's how you beat Tom Brady.
Yeah, and the Patriots in those two games were held to 14 and 17 points. Yeah, that's where really, like you think. I mean, David Andrews really has a chance to have a big impact one way or another on this game, either somehow neutralizing Sue and Donald or helping to it. I mean, one of those guys is getting double-teamed, and that's the key for the Rams is whichever one of those guys is getting double-teamed, then the other guy's got to make New England pay, whether it's Donald that's seeing it or Sue that's seeing it, but the other guy's got to take advantage of the one-on-one then.
And Sue had a phenomenal game against the Saints. I mean, he was everywhere in that game. And then Dante Fowler, keep that in mind, he's the one that had his hands in Breeze's face when Breeze threw the interception in overtime. So it's not just going to be Donald, you know, like you said. It's got to be a collective effort. And I think that the Rams, if those guys play well, have a very good chance to win this game. All that being said, I'm still taking the Patriots to win. I mean, I just don't see how I can pick against them because, again, when you talk about Bill Belichick and the history of the Patriots and taking away what another team does well more often than not, that makes me think they're going to hone in on that running game, really kind of load the box, try and stop that, and see what McVay/Goff can come up with.
Look, I think Goff can deliver though, and it's the idea of like not being able to pick against New England in a spot like that. It's like they did lose last year's Super Bowl.
They did, but more often than not, they don't lose.
I like the Rams in the game, okay. And I think the Rams are the better team.
I do too.
When the conference championship games first ended. The Rams were the early favorite. And then, of course, everyone was jumping on New England, so New England now's the 2.5-point favorite. But the Rams overall, they went 13-3. The Patriots lost 5 times. Only one of these teams was blown out at Detroit. Only one of these teams was blown out at Jacksonville. Only one of these teams was blown out by the Titans. Only one of these teams lost to the Dolphins, and only one of these head coaches thought it would be a good idea to have Rob Gronkowski as the last line of defense on a non-Hail Mary play. So I'm going to take the team that didn't do all those things. Also, I dislike New England very much, but I do have to say that Sony Michel and David Andrews are making that very difficult for me.
They really are.
I wish they would stop.
They really are. And let's not forget Isaiah Wynn and Malcolm Mitchell, both of those guys, I guess, on the IR for the Patriots right now. But, yeah, man, I mean, you can't forget that they have some DGDs on that team. And, look, I, just because I picked the Patriots to win doesn't mean that I want them to win. I'm with you. I want the Rams to win the game. I would love – and plus, I mean – I have to go for the Rams, too, because they made the awesome decision to wear their throwbacks in the game.
Yes.
You know, they're not wearing the blue and gold. They're wearing that royal blue and mustard yellow, which to me is the best jersey and best uniform combo in pro sports when the Rams go throwback. I love that blue and yellow.
Together. I don't think those things have been worn in a game since Warren Beatty wore them in Heaven Can Wait. So or at least like in a Super Bowl.
In a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, I got the Rams wore them though in 2000. They had the royal blue and yellow when they played in the Georgia Dome and won.
Did they?
Yeah. So it's like don't mess with success. If we're going back to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, we might as well wear the same uniforms that we won the game last time.
Right. So good. They're throwing back then to that one. I don't remember what they wore in that when they played the Steelers all the way back at the end of the 79 season.
I do know when they lost to the Patriots, they had changed it to that sort of darker blue with the gold trim.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they're like, we got to go back to the other one because we lost that game. We won the Super Bowl when we had the other ones on. So, you know, those things are kind of fickle sometimes.
I wish New England would wear their old throwbacks, too.
Oh, the one that they got stomped by the Bears, and because that was the red uniform they were wearing in that 86
Yeah, but
game.
With the Patriot logo
the Patriot
on the helmet.
On it's
the one that looked like John Hannah instead of the flying Elvis that they have now.
That's right, absolutely. But I would say that, again, I want the Rams to win. If Todd Gurley rushes over 100 yards, the Rams are going to win this game, and he's probably going to be the MVP. But just something about this tells me that I think Sony has a big game. I think they get him out into mismatches, out in space, and that's what they do really well. You know, James White and him are both really good at receiving those passes out of the backfield and making guys miss in space. I'm going to say Sony has the better game than Todd, and the Patriots win the game. I'll say, I don't know, 27-24.
I wish we knew for certain what Gurley's health was.
Because
I do think Gurley would be a solid play potentially for MVP.
Absolutely.
If you think the Rams are going to win the game.
But Michelle, too, because he scored 5 touchdowns this postseason, the most ever by a rookie in the NFL, and the most since Terrell Davis scored 5 in 97.
Yeah, I think you got a harder time. I guess it happened when Givens won the MVP with Brady. But
Deion Branch,
yeah.
I know what you're saying, that if Brady wins the game, he's going to get the MVP, because a lot of people thought Malcolm Butler should have won the MVP when he intercepted that pass in the end zone.
When they beat the Falcons, James White had 14 catches.
That's true, from over 100 yards.
Yeah, so it's just if the Patriots are going to win, it's just hard. You're going to have a really hard time getting anyone other than Brady to carry the MVP award. Because, like, even in the AFC Championship game, Sony had 29 carries and over 100 yards and scored that big touchdown on fourth down. I'm telling you, Brady still would have won the MVP. Like, if that had been the Super Bowl.
If they had an AFC MVP, Brady would have won it.
Or if that had been the Super Bowl, like, Brady was still going to get the MVP out of that. So, but if you think the Rams are going to win, I think Gurley
would be
a good MVP choice, or maybe Greg Zuerlein,
or Aaron Donald,
or Aaron Donald.
Ndamukong Suh. Yeah. Like if Aaron Donald has like a few sacks, a few tackles in the backfield for loss, maybe a forced fumble, it's going to be hard to see him not win it. In fact, my favorites for each team would probably be Brady for the Patriots and Donald, actually, for the Rams.
Well,
I know it takes a lot for a defensive guy to win it, but, you know, he's got a lot of fanfare going into the game.
Well, I mean, we're talking about two running backs being the MVP of the Super Bowl. There hasn't been one since Terrell Davis, who went to Georgia, so there is the connection.
Yeah.
But since then, there have been 4 defensive players that have won the MVP, and I think in 3 of the 4 cases...
They had, like, a pick 6 in the game or something.
Well, no, but I think you could say in 3 of the 4 cases, before the Super Bowl started, you would have said they were the best player in the game. Von Miller won it for Denver. Ray Lewis, the year he won it with Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Then there was that Dexter Jackson who did have
that
those.
That was the one for the Bucks. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have, you know, before the game, I don't think we would have lined him up as the best player in it. And then, then the other one I was that Malcolm Smith for the.
I thought James Harrison should have won it the year that Steelers beat the Cardinals.
But he made that might be the biggest play in the history of the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
That was
and
a 10-point swing.
Maybe was it Big Ben or Santonio Holmes? One of the two won it, I guess.
It was. It ended up being San Antonio.
It was San Antonio Holmes that got the award there.
He caught the game winning. He got the game winning.
He did catch
the
game winning touchdown. But again, I still think it should have gone to James Harrison for that 98-yard touchdown.
No, yeah, that was probably the biggest swing in the history of the game. It was. You're thinking at that point. The Cardinals are at least going to be able to tie the game.
Right.
And just like that, it's 17-7 instead.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm taking Patriots. Brame's taking the Rams. There's our Super Bowl preview for you. We'll come back next week and recap the game. And do not forget, send us your fully loaded question of the week, 960theref@coxradio.com. Starting next week, if we choose yours, you're getting a $20 gift card to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, where you can eat pizza to your heart's delight.
Yeah, all you got to do is hit send. We do have to type out a question.
You have to type out a question. Yeah. And like Brame said earlier, if you're like, why are you guys such bums on this podcast, we're probably not picking you.
Yeah.
So go to 960theref@coxradio.com, send those questions there, and you might be getting $20 in free pizza.
Yeah.
From Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkins.
If you want to ask us why we're such bums, maybe we will pick yours and we'll do a whole podcast explaining why.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a very good question.
As Brame and I very often show up to this building wearing like sweatshirts and beanies. So, you know, that's kind of how we live our lives.
It's cold.
Here. It is cold. And it's cold in this building. But I digress. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Crossover Podcast on 960theref.com, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Back next week. And whether it's Go Patriots or Go Rams, it's always Go Dawgs.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brain, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville on 960theref.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.